All right, Philippians 4:13. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is probably one of the most quoted, memorized verses in the New Testament. This is one of those favorite verses. This is a verse that is kindred to John 3:16 that many people have memorized. This is also kindred to Philippians 4:19, which we quote many times, which says, but my God shall supply all you need. This is kindred somewhat to Psalm 23, where many times many people memorize the 23rd Psalm. This is just one of those favorite verses in the Bible. But it behooves us tonight to not only read it, to not only memorize it, to not only know how it reads, but it really behooves us tonight to really apply it, to really get down to understanding and realize what Paul is saying, and to know that it is literally 100% true. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But a lot of times confusion comes in when people try to figure out what the all things are. What are the all things that we can do through Christ that strengthens us? Well, I can tell you, it's not necessarily a physical feat. Now, I can tell you tonight, I can say, I can do all things, and I can claim this verse, and then if I'd go down here, or if I'd go to Myrtle Beach, and I'd have a canoe with me, or the West Coast for that matter, and I'm in a canoe, and I'll say, since I'm claiming Philippians 4:13, I'll meet you in England. Not hardly. It would pay us to understand what Paul means when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe this evening that verse is as potent, it's as powerful as it was the day that the pen of the writer under inspiration put it on paper. I believe this evening that this verse is absolutely 100% accurate. But it comes down to understanding what all things is. Christians can claim this verse, but we need to understand what all things are. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God, and thank you for the privilege this evening of preaching it. And help us this evening to understand not only how precious this verse is, but to understand how true, how accurate, and how powerful it really is. Help us to realize this evening that you didn't save us for defeat, but for victory. And our Father tonight, you've promised to supply the needs of your people. And help us to get a hold of that tonight, to understand it more clearly. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I don't like to start out on a negative note, but reality is reality. Most of us, and I put myself in the category too, because we're all in the human family, and we all, regardless of how close we may or may not be to Christ, we still have problems with the flesh, and we still have problems many times with unbelief, with struggling and issues that we can't seem to get victory over all the time like we should. Most Christians these days seem to be members of the fear fraternity. The fear fraternity. Stress and depression dominate so many. More times than not, you hear people saying, I can't rather than I can. They automatically form an opinion or conclusion which is framed around a negative. I can't. I can't. I can't. But the Bible says I can. But this, of course, does apply to God's people. This is restricted to God's people. And many times, Christian people, they read their Bibles, they memorize their Bibles, but they're not too quick to claim them, to understand them, and to really believe them like they should. They have mixed signals, mixed emotions. They're a little bit like the guy that I heard was paranoid. And one day, he was at a dinner gathering. He was seated beside a well-refined lady. She heard him muttering to herself, "My leg is paralyzed. Oh my, my leg is paralyzed. My leg is paralyzed." The lady said to him, "Sir, it might comfort you to know that it's my leg you're pinching." The fear fraternity. Too many people are paranoid. Too many people are living in a world that doesn't exist. Too many people have already settled on a negative. And it seemed like that's just kind of how they think. Some people are so negative, it kind of goes a little bit like this. Some people say, "I feel bad when I feel good because I know that eventually I'll feel bad again." It's kind of like that. Many Christians are consumed with worry. And honestly, worry should not dominate our lives. We really should not be worrying. I mean, after all, let's be thankful that we're living. Let's be thankful, Christians, that we're really living. Let's be thankful that it's going to get better eventually. Let's be thankful that we know the truth of Scripture, that God doesn't promise us that we're always going to have physical health. It's not all about physical health. It's really about spiritual health. It's not the physical health that will last us. It's the spiritual health that will carry us through, really, in the big picture. But worry is not too good. John Wesley is reported to have said he didn't know what dishonored God the most. He didn't know that was it worry or was it cursing or swearing. That was his statement. In other words, he equated worry with as serious as cursing or swearing. And when you stop and think about it, worry is bad because it is a doubt of God's love and care. It's doubting God's love and God's care. When we worry, we're doubting God's love and God's care. Think about it. That's why it's bad. But you know, prayer does change things. A life of faith goes a long way. Trusting God goes a long way. And many times just good heartfelt prayer, really looking to the Lord, really getting a hold of the throne of grace, can get rid of the thing of worry. I heard of a pilot one time. While the plane was in flight, he heard a rat gnawing. The pilot heard a rat gnawing on the wiring system. And the pilot knew that something had to be done in a hurry, or that rat could literally chew through the wiring system and cause the plane to crash. So that pilot, in wisdom, he ascended to 20,000 feet. And when he got to 20,000 feet, the altitude killed the rodent. And everything was okay. And I believe that when the people of God will go to the altitude of prayer, and will go higher in prayer and faith and trusting God, I believe the rodent of worry will leave, will be taken care of. He said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I believe that a great stress management tool is attitude. I can through Christ. It's attitude. I mean, it's a shame that we quote a verse one minute and act like it's not in the Bible the next minute. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now this morning, we focused on one verse in Philippians. And tonight we're doing the same thing. Rejoice in the Lord this morning. Well, tonight I can do all things through Christ. Let me break this thought down just a little bit tonight. First of all, the identity of our can do. The identity of it. I can do all things. We're identifying it here. The identity. All things. God's strengthening power enabled the Apostle Paul to live a victorious Christian life in spite of his circumstances, in spite of his being in jail, in spite of his being incarcerated, in spite of his being confined to prison. He still could have joy and peace. He still could be positive. He still could pen a great epistle. In fact, he wrote more than one in prison. His doing all things that he's talking about here had to do with his ability to accept all things and remain contented and joyful in spite of his circumstances. So lay aside the thought of being able to do all things physically and realize that this has to do with attitude too. This has to do with things besides just attitude, like bench pressing 400 pounds. I'm not talking about that. What are we saying here? Paul's doing all things had to do with his ability to accept all things and remain contented and joyful. The Bible's the best commentary on itself, right? Read the immediate context, and you will see what some of those all things happen to be in Paul's case. Verse number 11, please. Chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul would say, if I'm in North Carolina, I'll be content. If I'm in West Virginia, I'll be content. No, no. You know better than that. State. Whatever state I'm in. What predicament. Situation. Whether it's in prison or out of prison. Condition of life. Whatever condition life would find him. He's saying, I can still be content. Looking again at that verse. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. And so contentment, a part of the all things, is his ability by God's grace to be content in spite of where he was. That's part of the all things. Notice something else. Something else here. Verse number 4. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. A part of the all things was his ability to rejoice always. Always. He didn't just write it. He didn't just preach it. He experienced it. So when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, the all things for Paul was he was able to be content in the worst possible situation. He was able to have joy in the worst possible situation. That's a part of the all things. Contentment, joy. Many times we're thinking just physical, aren't we? His doing all things had to do with his ability to do without and to maintain humility even if he had plenty. Verse number 12. Verse number 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So the all things, part of the all things, was his ability to do without to maintain humility even if he had plenty. Even if he had plenty, he still could be humble. If he didn't have anything, he could still rejoice. Now that's good Christian ethics. That's really tapping in to what he's saying there. We have the tendency to put too much in the physical realm. We have the tendency to think in terms of our finances, of our estates, of our money, of our health, of material things, and that type of thing. We equate that with blessings. And if we're stripped of those things, we think we're not blessed. But quite the opposite. Paul said he can still live with joy even when he's abounding and even when he's abased. He still is going to maintain a consistent flow. It's not going to sap him of his strength. It's not going to take away his joy one way or the other. And when he happens to have plenty, he'll still have the humility to say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, this is a part of the all things. So basically, it has to do with our mental attitude to accept, I can do all things, including an attitude to be able to accept life the way it is, to not grumble, but still rejoice. He's talking about an inward spiritual victory that is made possible by the influence of the risen Lord, who infuses his power into his own. Somebody put it like this: God daily loads us with supply to match our needs, and the supply truck of grace is continually stocked, for it shuttles continually from the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's supply truck keeps coming. He keeps resupplying us. There's verse after verse in the Bible that lets us know that God does supply our needs. His supply truck is always on time. What about Ephesians 3:16? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The can do, I'm saying here tonight, is not talking about physical feats. It's talking about contentment and joy and the ability to accept things. And that takes God's grace to do that. That takes God's grace. That takes the supply truck to arrive. For you and I to be content. So the all things are in the context of the will of God. Let me illustrate it. Let's say I'm in a hospital. I'm at Moses Cone, laid up in the hospital, eating hospital food. Have IV stuck in me. Miserable. Then I'm laying there, in the hospital. Someone visits me. They'll look down at me and they'll say, "You sure do look good." You know, there's a lot of lying goes on in the hospital, isn't there? "You sure do look good today. I'd never know you were sick." You ever heard that before? Well, okay, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What am I going to do now? I'm in a hospital, strapped to a bed. IVs running through me. I'm sick as a dog. Can't do anything. Can't get up. Can't walk home. Can't get out of the bed and run to Kernersville from Moses Cone. But here's what I can do. I can still trust God. I can still rejoice. I can still commit to His care. I can be content in knowing He's in control of my situation. You know, the I can do also could include this. I can trust. I can pray. I can rejoice. So the I can do has to do with I can pray, I can trust, I can accept, I can rejoice. So think about that. I can't get out of the hospital bed and run home, but I can lay there on the hospital bed knowing that my life is in God's care, and I can still rejoice and praise Him and trust Him and pray to Him and realize that He has not left me nor abandoned me at all. He's as close as He's always been. But it's just the fact that these physical bodies just weren't put here to last forever. The strongest get weak from time to time. The problem with many of us here tonight, you know what our problem is? Are you ready for this? I can diagnose what our problem is. I've had a little medical training. You don't necessarily have a heart condition. You don't necessarily have a kidney problem. You don't necessarily have high blood pressure. You know what the biggest part of our problem is? We've had too many birthdays. Quite simple. We're getting older, folks. And I'll tell you, that's a part of the I can do all things. It's accepting the fact of what life is. It's accepting the fact of our purpose in life. It's accepting the fact that this is boot camp training ground for the real life, like I said this morning. And we do get sick. We do have issues. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We can accept life the way it is. We can still keep our joy. We can still pray. We can still trust God. And I know sometimes people are saying, well, what if my mind goes? Well, let me go out on a limb and say this tonight. If as a child of God, if our mind goes, God still loves us and is in control of our life. And He won't be one inch further from us then. We may say things we normally wouldn't say and do things we normally wouldn't do, but we're still loved by God. And one of these days we're going to have a clear mind anyway. Some of the greatest saints of God that's ever lived have suffered in ways that are unimaginable. And you can never convince them in a million years that God didn't love them. God has a plan. God has a will. God has a providence. God has a purpose in all things. Some people, I'm trying to think of the name of this commentator. He lived to be 38 years of age, I think. He burned out for Jesus on a foreign mission field. He literally burned himself out preaching the gospel and died as a 38-year-old man, young man. And many would have looked at him and said, what a waste. What a waste. No, it wasn't a waste. He's at the feet of Jesus tonight rejoicing for the fruit of his labor. And you'll never convince him in 10 billion years in glory that he made a mistake in giving his life totally over to Christ. I can do all things. I can accept life. I can still rejoice. I can still be positive. I can still not complain. I can still look forward. I can through Christ. He's not talking physical there. He's talking mental, spiritual. He's talking attitude. He's talking faith. He's talking trust. That's what he's doing. Because again, we looked at it in the passage of Scripture. He's learned in whatsoever state he's in to be content. Rejoice always, he said. So let's put those verses together because let's tie the Scriptures together. That's what he's saying there. Secondly, notice the independence of our can-do. Independence. Our can-do is not hindered by our environment. It is independent of our circumstances. After all, Paul makes a positive statement while he's in prison. He wrote this book in prison. If our can-dos are to depend upon a perfect environment and perfect health, we may as well just go ahead and join the SSO organization. You know what the SSO is? Sour Saints Organization. That's what it is. I love music, as you well know. And I love the lyrics of so many good old songs that were written by godly men and women who lived and learned from experience what God can do. Someone wrote, I've discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered the way of joy. I've discovered relief from sadness. 'Tis a happiness without alloy. I've discovered the fount of blessing. I've discovered the living word. 'Twas the greatest of all discoveries when I found Jesus my Lord. The independence of the I can do. It's independent of circumstances. We still can function. We still can exist. We still can pray. We still can be positive in spite of everything that happens in our lives. Then the incredibility of it. The incredibility of our can do. All things. All things. Two words, all things. Keep them together. We can do what we have to do. We can do what we ought to do under the circumstances we face. We can do what God expects us to do. That's a key thought. We can persevere all trials. We can perform all duties which match the context of God's will in our position in life. We don't have to stay in the minor key. We don't have to. Then, fourthly, the inspiration of our can-do through Christ. Through Christ, or in Christ, which strengtheneth us. Now note something about this verse here. Paul does not say, I can do all things, blank or period. He doesn't say, I can do all things, period. No, he qualifies it, doesn't he? He qualifies it. He shows what the inspiration is. He says, I can do all things through Christ. This is a language of power. This is dynamic contentment. This means grace for our troubles. This means victory for our temptations. This means strength for our tasks. This means power to cope. I can do all things through Christ. Let me put it this way. He's greater than our future. He's greater than our bad decisions. He's greater than our plans. He's greater than our thoughts. He's greater than our human limitations. He's greater than the powers of darkness. He's greater than our enemies. He's greater. The inspiration of our can-do through Christ which strengtheneth me. I feel sorry for people that don't have Christ. I feel sorry for people that have to do it alone, that have to make it alone. I couldn't imagine that now after being saved all these years. Imagine living in this world without Christ. I can't even wrap my mind around that. But I suppose if I were living now, given the times in which we're living, I might very well be like many people that can continually frequent churches and yet cannot give you a time where they know they got saved. I may very well have been in that category. I guess what I'm trying to say, I'm glad that I'm an old codger that got saved in 1968. Sometimes I fear what's happening today. When you see such a decline, it seems like in conversions, especially in this area. Now, maybe other areas are a little bit different. But I'm glad now that I'm on the other side. I feel that, don't you, many of you? Hey, we can be glad as a church that we can look back upon those former ministries when people were walking an aisle, when youth programs were blooming, when things were happening, when people were being saved. Thank God for that. Amen. We can be glad that we're in our ages tonight. We may have been lost. And what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? But I can do all things through Christ. He's the one that energizes us. He's our power. He's our resource. He's our inspiration. He's our motivation through Christ, not through myself. Not through my degrees, not through my education, not through my experience. No, no, nor you. It's not through what you've done that you're able to live the Christian life. It's still through the same resource that you found the day you got saved. When you and I got saved, we started out a supernatural walk with God right then. And it has not discontinued. It's the same. It takes the grace of God every day of our lives. It's a supernatural walk. Everything about the Christian, in fact, listen to me, being saved is a supernatural experience, and living for God's a supernatural experience. It's as dynamic. In other words, what God is doing right now is as dynamic as it was when He saved us. Because it's through Christ. Through Christ, we got saved. And through Christ, we live the Christian life. So we see here, and I've got to hurry, we see the inspiration of our can-do. We see the inwardness of our can-do. He strengthens us, our faith. In other words, He gives faith equal to the emergency. This does not say which strengthened us either. This says, look at the verse, which strengthens us. It says strengthens. It doesn't say strengthened. It's not in the past tense. Strengthens us like the manna that fell out down from heaven in the book of Exodus. It fell down daily. It came down daily. I believe that God's strength is something that's daily. He gives this to us daily. He did it yesterday, but He's doing it today. And then finally, the instruction of our can-do. There's an instruction. You say, preacher, what do you mean instruction? Well, would you agree with me tonight that the Bible's the instruction manual for the Christian? This is our instruction manual, really. We have a script to go by. We receive lessons on what to do, how to live, and how to serve the Lord. You know, the most important part of the tree is the root system. You know that? We see the tree, we see the blossoms, we see the branches, but if it wasn't for that root system beneath the earth, what good would that tree be? How would that tree survive? It's a root system. Now compare that tonight to the deep resources of faith that nourish and sustain God's people. And the Bible is our manuscript. We read it for direction. We read it for instruction. We obey it. So you see, I've talked tonight about trusting the Lord, haven't I? I've talked about faith. I've talked about attitude issues. Well, that's all in the Bible, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. That's right in the Bible, isn't it? So we go by the manuscript. We read that. We accept it. And I close with this thought. The resource for our I can do is God's Word. Strength is Christ, of course. But somebody said, we've traveled together, my Bible and I, through all kinds of weather, with smile or with sigh, in sorrow or sunshine, in tempest or calm, thy friendship unchanging, my lamp and my psalm. We've traveled together, my Bible and I, when life has grown weary and death e'er was nigh. But all through the darkness of mist or of wrong, I found there a solace, a prayer and a song. So now who shall part us, my Bible and I? Shall isms or schisms or new lights who try? Shall shadow or substance or stone for good bread supplant thy sound wisdom, give folly instead? Oh no, my dear Bible, exponent of light, thou sword of the Spirit, put error to flight. And still through life's journey, until my last sigh, we'll travel together, my Bible and I. So our script tonight, where we read the instruction, is the Bible itself. So, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a precious verse. What a precious challenge. And what a precious comfort. To know that in any circumstances in our life, God will measure out the grace to match the need. He'll always give us what we need. Let's pray.